Well, our readings this Sunday are all about persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. So why pray? Why pray? We know there are many kinds of prayer. There's contemplative prayer, meditative prayer, prayers of adoration. We have Lectio Divina, of course, praying with sacred scripture. And our readings this Sunday focus on one of the most common and most practiced forms, and that's intercessory prayer or petitionary prayer, asking God for something. It's probably the kind of prayer we all start with as small children. We kneel beside our bed at night, perhaps prompted by our parents, and then we pray, you know, for mom or dad or our siblings or maybe as kids grow into school age, you know, Lord, make it snow overnight so we have a snow day. And I think teachers do that too. But just because we have, you know, this form of prayer we first learn as small children doesn't mean it's something that becomes less important or something that we kind of grow out of. So it's simple, but it doesn't make it unimportant. It's also the kind of prayer we turn to instinctively. And we see this even with folks, you know, often who are non-religious, right? Whether they want to acknowledge it or not, they do this. Like we pray in a crisis situation, asking God, pleading to him for something, or a student before a test, right? We even see this in sports, right? Like the Hail Mary pass, that's a prayer. But why do we ask God for things? Why do we ask God for things? Doesn't he already know? Can we really change God's mind? After all, God is all-knowing. He's immutable, right? Meaning he's unchanging. He's perfect goodness, perfect love. And so, no, we don't pray to inform God, right? Like he's unaware of our struggles. We don't need to say to God, Lord, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm really in trouble down here. He already knows. He knows better than we do. He knows every hair on our head. This was from the gospel reading on Friday, and I was preaching to the school kids and mentioned that, and of course they're all starting wanting to count the hairs on their head. No, we'll just leave that to God. So no, prayer doesn't change God. Prayer doesn't change God, but prayer does change things. It does change things, and it changes us. God in his goodness invites us to cooperate with him, to be co-workers with him in his work of love and mercy. And in prayer, we participate with him. He could act alone, but he chooses to act with us. He chooses to act with us. Blaise Pascal, the great philosopher, once said, "In calling us to pray, God extends to us the dignity of being causes." In calling us to pray, God extends to us the dignity of being causes. In other words, God could do it all himself, but he chooses not to. He chooses not to. Instead, he chooses to work with us. He wants us to share in his rule over the universe, over the events of our world, through our prayers. And it's clear from scriptures that there are things that would not have happened had they not been prayed for. That God wants us to participate with him in his rule of the world. And of course we know it's God's power. It's God's power, but that he delights to use our prayers. He delights to use our prayer. And we see this in the first reading from the book of Exodus. It was the power of God that brought down the Amalekites, but he wished to do it through the lifted hands of Moses. That he wanted Moses to have some kind of participation. So that it was more than just God saying to him and to Joshua, you know, okay, go now and beat him down. Right? He wanted Moses and the Israelites to be invested in this, to participate in his saving action. And that's what prayer is. That we're not passive spectators in the spiritual life. We're invited to actually be active participants. In his plan. C.S. Lewis gives this analogy. Like we don't say it when we're hungry, we sit down and we say, if God wants me to eat, I'll just sit here and he'll put food here in front of me. No, we don't. C.S. Lewis points out, we don't actually live that way. You know, in a day like today with a heavy downpour earlier, if we have big plans today, we don't leave the house and say, I'll leave the umbrella, raincoat behind because God will just make sure that it rains around me, but not on me. No, we don't actually live that way. We act. You know, when we're hungry, we cook, we work, we shop. That's not a lack of faith. That's how God made us, as free agents who cooperate with grace. And that's true because what's true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world. That prayer is part of how we act in the spiritual realm. That it connects us to God. It aligns our hearts to His will. And over time, it transforms us. You know this, parents, who, as you've raised your children, let's say you're getting ready to make something, maybe baking a cake, and a child comes in and wants to help. And maybe your first thought is, no, there's going to be a mess. It's going to take longer. It's just easier if I do it. But the child persists. And you know there's going to be a mess. You could do it quicker, but after persistence, you allow them to help you. Why? Because you want to spend that time with them. And I can remember this when I first started helping my dad on the farm, and I've mentioned my dad is a retired dairy farmer, but like as my brothers and I were growing up and we'd start helping with chores on the farm, my dad certainly could have done them a lot faster, especially when we were very little, right? He could have done them faster and probably better. And it would have been a lot easier for him if he just did them himself. But he had us do the chores with him, right? He wanted us to be with him. He wanted to work with us. And it's the same this time of year as we see, well, you know, with firearm deer season around the corner and the deer are running. Found this out a couple days ago. Whatever. So the deer hit me. But when that time of year, you know, when you would build the deer blinds and before you could have the raised deer blinds for firearm, and we'd go out into the woods building deer blinds in the woods, my brothers and me, and just spending that time with Dad and building, right? And it wasn't just about building. It wasn't just about, you know, building something and getting the job done. It was about spending time together. And we got to see how he works. We got to see his heart. We got to know him in a different way, in a deeper way than we would if he hadn't let us do the work alongside him. And that's what God wants in prayer. That's what God wants in prayer. Yes, God can get the job done without us. But he wants us to walk with him, to know his heart, to become like him. So prayer doesn't change God, but it does change things. And it definitely changes us. And most of all, it draws us into relationship. And that's the greatest gift of all. Is prayer is the gift of a relationship with God. And it's not just getting an answer, but getting God himself. He wants us close to him, and prayer brings us near, not just to get something, but to get to know someone. And not just get to know him, but to get to know ourselves, because prayer helps to reveal more of ourselves to us as well. We see this in the first reading from the book of Exodus with Moses and the Israelites participating in God's victory. And they know it's his victory. It steals no glory from God. All the glory and power is still God's. But God is choosing to use this weak vessel, Moses, you know, so weak that he needs people to help him keep his arms lifted high, to hold them up. And yet God desires to use this weak vessel, and he uses us, brothers and sisters, these weak vessels that we are. Because prayer is coming from us, and that's what he's trying to teach us. It's coming from us and from our weakness, that it brings us to the end of ourselves. It reveals to us our limits. So those Israelites that we see in Exodus will know that victory, and for us, it can't be our own strength, it can't be our own skill or power, it has to be God's. In our gospel, we see Jesus tell the story of the persistent widow and the unjust judge, and the judge is fine. We see him finally give in, not because he cares about justice, but because she won't stop pestering him. Now, Jesus isn't saying God is like that judge, but he's saying if even an unjust man like this responds to persistence, how much more will your good and loving Father listen to you? So don't give up on prayer. Don't think you're pestering God. Don't assume your requests are too small or too many. Keep praying, keep asking, keep showing up, because our Heavenly Father is listening, and he loves you, and he wants to work with you. Jesus says at the end of this gospel, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth? See, faith is the foundation. faith is the foundation and persistent prayer is the expression of a living faith. Faith leads to prayer, and persistent prayer, it keeps faith alive. So pray, pray constantly, pray persistently. Raise your mind and your heart to God, not because He needs it, but because we do. We do, because prayer opens us to God's love. It aligns us to His will, and it draws us into relationship with our Father. And that is the greatest gift of all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.